now. In our midst, God. Here now. Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Young people can go to the classes. Young. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that song because, man, just sometimes we just need reminded. Amen. That He's here now. And I believe with all my heart, I believe that we, man, there's so many voices. I just feel that there's so many voices that we hear. Different. They're challenging for space in our lives and for ear time. And some of those things are good things and some of them things are bad things. And we have to have the Spirit to recognize what is what we hear and what we don't hear. Amen? Because some things look good. Amen? Come on. Some things might look good, but they might not be good. They might act like it and be plumped up and have everything going for it, but yet not be right. And we have to have an ear to hear. We have to have the heart to hear. That's why it's so important that I don't be... that you don't depend on me to hear from God alone. As only being the voice from God that you hear from. Because you can't put that weight all on me. Amen? Because I can't put the weight on my pastors that are pastoring me to just hear from God from them. I have to hear from God. Come on, amen? I have to know the voice of God. I have to be sensitive to hear the sound. Hallelujah. And then whenever that pastor's speaking, that it just confirms what God is speaking in my heart. And that's what makes it so powerful and so just so mighty that we can just see God moving. We can just hear and say, wow, then, man, I'm hearing the right thing. Amen? Come on. I'm hearing the right thing. So we want our hearts to be right. But I just believe that we hear so many voices. And one of the worst voices that we hear comes from within. Come on, amen? So the worst sometimes, the voices that we hear, our biggest critics are the ones that judge the most. It comes from within, amen? That sometimes we beat ourselves up. Sometimes we crush ourselves and we keep ourselves from experiencing what we really need to, amen? And we listen to that voice more than any other voice. Come on, amen? You hear yourself talk all day long, amen? Whether it's verbally, whether it's out loud or just thinking, you hear your voice all day long. I wish I could shut my mouth sometimes in my thoughts, but I can't. It keeps on talking. So I want you to know that I have to have the right conversations, amen, to myself, amen, that I need to be speaking the right things, come on, to flow in the right direction, right living, right understanding. So I need to be thinking the right things, and if you're thinking the right things, you're going to say the right things, amen? But so many times we begin to say the wrong things. We say the wrong things about other people. We say the wrong things about ourselves. So I just want to deal with that for just a little bit tonight. I just want to just throw out some scriptures here. Amen. So Psalms 50, 23. So go with me here. And this is the battle that David had. David was like us. Amen. That he struggled with things in his life. And there were some things that he dealt with. And most of the time it was himself that he dealt with. And the battles that he was fighting within himself. I want you to know that this is the problem with Saul. Do you remember how that God used Saul and David as an example for us to see that here's David had a heart after God, even though he had his struggles, just like all of us. Come on. That we know that even though you got your struggles, that if you get your heart right, hallelujah, you begin to get your heart right and you submit to God and repent, amen, that you turn your heart to God, you turn your heart to the ways that God has. Now, let me just deal with that real quick. The word repent is scriptural. It comes all the way back that we understand that word repent, what we do is we say, well, I repent. And what we do is go back to where it was good at one time. To where we think it was good. Because you mess up and you go back to that place where you thought it was good, but that's not true repentance. True repentance is going back to the original design that the Father has for you. back to Garden of Eden, back to that place where we're in a place of relationship with the Father and oneness with Him. Come on, amen. That you go back to who you really are in Him. That's repentance. See, that changes everything. See, here's what I mean by that. See, if I hold something against somebody and I say, hey, would you ask my forgiveness for this and that? But in my heart, I really don't do that. That's really not repenting. I could say all I want to say and look good, and you might think I do, but inside I'm like, I don't want to get Jody. Inside your thoughts. Come on, I want to help you tonight. I want you to get that. See, that's not true repentance. True repentance is going back to that place, and that's where God gets involved. That's where God gets involved. He gets behind you, and He strengthens you, and He pushes you to that place where that you need to be. Amen? That you can't get there on your own. But true repentance brings you back to that place and lines up with God. That's where I want to be. So here it is. You got David, who is, his heart is right. But Saul, there was something within Saul that he just wasn't going to get right. And here's one of the reasons why. And it's funny in the Bible, because the Bible's funny sometimes. It is. And here's Saul, and it says that Saul, this was his biggest problem. You know what it was? It says that the prophet tried to go find, Samuel tried to find Saul. And you know why he couldn't find him? Because he was chasing his father's asses all around the mountain. Says it. Come on, laugh. It's funny. Listen, I want you to know what gets you in trouble is when you begin to chase things. You begin to chase things that are struggles and that are wear you out. He's chasing them things. Come on, amen. You got to let some of those things go. He keeps going after those things that were getting him in trouble. He ran after those things. He was running after that situation and all those things and was keeping him occupied, running around the mountain. Amen. He was chasing donkeys. Come on, amen. He was chasing something he was never going to catch instead of reaching for what God had. So I want you to see that was the difference. But here's David. And David begins to say something. I just want you to hear this. And I hope you can relate this. And it starts off with this. And it says, whoso offereth praise glorifies me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Listen. To him that orders his conversations. To him that controls his conversations. That has the right conversations. Because I want you to know, listen, the conversation I'm talking about is with you. The conversation you're having is with yourself, I'm talking about. That's the one that matters most. Because here's what I mean by that. That moment that you accepted Christ, no other voice mattered more than the voice that you listened to say in your heart, I need to do this. I need Christ in my life as my Savior. It was you talking to you. Come on, amen. You were talking to yourself saying, man, I need Jesus. The whole time you're sitting. I remember the time that I stood there, stood in the back of the church, hanging on to that pew, and I was having a conversation. I was arguing myself. No, come on, you need to get high one more time. You need to go have one more fling. Too much dope in your car. I told you a story, man. When I left that night, I didn't want to have no part of it. And I threw it out the window. And you know what? I remember to this day that I threw it out by Sam Hill's house. In his farm field. I don't think I've ever told him that. Here, I whipped out that. So his horses, they had a good time, whatever. But I remember, but see, the conversation that I had. See, because here's what I mean by that. See, I talked to myself, I told myself, you need to do this right now. You need to make this decision right now. I want you to know that, listen to me, you will talk yourself into doing wrong things. You could talk yourself into doing the wrong thing. You talk to yourself long enough, guess what? You'll do the wrong thing. So what is your conversation? He that has a conversation aright, I will show salvation to. If your conversations are ordered with God, if they're lined up with God, God's intentions for your life, you'll see the salvation of God. See, that's what David did. David began to have the right conversation with himself. And here's what I mean by that. You ready for this? Listen. Psalms 42. Listen, here's David. He's having this struggle. He's saying, man, I'm thirsting for God. He says, as a sword in my bones, this is in Psalms 42:10. and as a sword in my bones, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? He's talking to himself. Where's your God? Come on, sometimes we have that. Let's be real here today. Sometimes you say that. Sometimes there's something within you that say, you know that God's, you know that. You have that relationship. You know that God's there. But sometimes your voice inside asks you, where's God now? Come on, where's God now? Where is God? Your flesh will say to you, where's God now? Come on, amen, Randy, has that happened to you? He says, where is, yeah, happens in our life. But this is what he said. You can listen to that conversation and you can entertain that conversation and you can sit down with that conversation and begin to think, yeah, where is God? Where is he? How come he hasn't showed up in time? Because God's timing's not my timing. It's his timing. Come on, amen. And God, I've watched God do amazing things if I just let him do it. Amen. If I give him the time and I give the right conversation, say, God, you be God, and I'm going to sit right here and wait. Here's what he said. And he says this. And he said, why? He said, why? Why art thou downcast? Cast down my soul. He's having a conversation. He's beginning to get the conversation lined up the right way. Why is your soul like this? And he says, why art thou disquieted within? Hope in God. Tell someone hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Then it goes on, and he says it again. He says, why art thou cast down in Psalms 43:5? Why, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, my God. Wow. And then it says this in Psalms 47:46-10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He's declaring something. He says, you be still. Listen to God's voice. Stop listening to that voice. Come on, that fleshly, that one that's disturbing, that one that says we need to tell our soul, our flesh, that voice that discourages us, shut up. Come on, that's what it says. He says, what is it? He declared it right here. He says, my soul, he says, disquiet with me. He says, why art thou cast down? Why? Why? We need to declare to our soul, shut up. Stop. Listen to God. Stop. See, because our flesh has an opinion. So I want to get to this, and I want you to see this, that in the beginning, this is what got us in trouble. That we need to repent. This is what I mean, to go back to the beginning where it messed up. Where did we mess up? It was in creation with Adam and Eve. And what did they do? He said this. He gave them a decision. He says, there's two trees. There's many trees, but there's two. One of them is a tree of life. Can you say Jesus? He is the tree of life in the center of that place, right there for us to choose. He is the way. But then he says there's a tree of knowledge and good and evil. Sounds pretty good, right? I mean, sounds okay. But I want you to know, listen to me, that's what the enemy got. He says the tree of good and evil, of knowledge. And see, man's knowledge, what we think that we know in our own conversations, that you got this, you can do this. You don't need to listen to God. You don't need nobody else. You got this. Got them in trouble. It got them in the mess that they're in. Instead of letting Christ, the center, be the center of our conversation. Him being the only voice that we hear. It gave room when they began to take hold of that apple. It gave them a place to have a conversation with somebody else. See, the Bible says that even them, he says, they hid from the voice of God. Adam hid from that voice. In the still, in the morning, Jesus, the Heavenly, the Father was walking in the midst and he's calling out, Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? And Adam was hiding. He was hiding from the voice. I want you to know that, listen to me, that's what happens. When we begin to take in our own knowledge and hear our own voice tell us, you got this, you don't need anybody else, you don't need to hear this, you just need to listen to the voice within you, yourself, your own self, will cause us to lose hearing of the Father. Hearing our own voices instead of hearing the Spirit of God speak to us. That's what gets us in trouble. Because our own flesh wants us to do whatever feels good. Of good and evil. There's a lot of things that feel good. I've said this before, people do things they do at first because it feels good. There's a lot of things that people do, there's a lot of things they do that ultimately will not make them feel good, but at the first time, it feels good. Listen, Proverbs 12:4, can you look at that for me? Everybody all right? I actually see things backwards sometimes. What's that called? Yeah. I see numbers backwards all the time. So I know that's not it right there. Don't offend anybody, but... Hang on. I got to give you this scripture so you believe me. Is that all right? I think I... Proverbs 14:12. I just, I had 12:4. Proverbs 14:12. Listen, there's a way. Say, there's a way which seems right unto man, but in the end thereof are the ways of death. See, that's what we have to understand, that we have to know that, listen, we need the way, the truth, and life. We need Christ as our guide. I can't do this without Him because it seems right. That's why sometimes I want you to know there's some people that are in a place in their life where they think everything that they do is okay. They don't need anything. It's what happened is their heart gets to a place where that their own voice is their God, is their direction, is their guide. And they might not even realize it. You need Christ. You know, why? Why do I need Jesus? Everything's going fine with me. I'm okay. See, it seems right. But in the end is death. Come on, amen? See, our conversations have to be right. So listen, and Luke 6, I want to give you this scripture. Luke 6:37. Now, I'm going to try to bring this together here so you can see this, all right? He says, judge not. The word judge means to divide and separate. Don't separate not. You shall not be judged. If you judge not, you shall not be judged. Here, listen. It says, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So there's a conversation going on here. There's an understanding to know that there's something within us that comes forth out of us that condemns people. So there's a judgment call within us. Come on, amen. I want you to get this. There's a direction, a guide, something coming forth within all man that we're either going to judge something, amen, that we're going to condemn something, amen, the way that we see that, the voice that's within us. I want you to know that there it is, she is. Come on, put your hands together. Okay. She was at work. Hard working. So I want you to know there's his voice. So here's what I'm in. This is what I want us to understand. That this is the problem. See, I want you to know that the church thinks that we think in ourselves that if we don't have this relationship with God, if we don't have this understanding with Him, if our conversations aren't with God, it's coming from somewhere. So what it will do, it will judge other people unrighteously. It'll condemn people in the wrong way. Come on, amen? It'll begin to be unforgiving in the wrong ways if the voice isn't from God. Come on, amen? And this has been the problem with the church, because the voice that we hear sometimes has come the wrong way. And I want you to know that we got to understand, because the Word of God describes this, and Jesus is dealing with this because He's dealing with the church, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that are judging people, condemning people, and not forgiving people. They're not listening to the voice. Here's the voice, the way, the truth, and life standing right in front of them. Come on, it's Jesus right in the midst, and He's standing them. They don't recognize His voice. They don't hear His voice. They don't know it. This is the ones that should know the voice of God more than anybody else. They should know. But you see, in their own mind, they're listening to their own voices. And they're beginning to judge people. And what they're doing is, they seems right to them because they're taking the law, the Mosaic law, the law of Moses that was given, for a time for us to understand that, guess what? Ultimately, it'll bring you to a place so you realize, I need a God. I can't do this. That's all the law did. Brought you to a place to understand, we need God. It brings you back to the place of repentance where you realize we need to get back to our original design where we messed up. Back to the place before the law that we can understand, I need to get into covenant with the Father. He gave us the covenant of the old commandments so that He could be in relationship with, even though we were bad and in bad place, that so that we could have this, still have this relationship with Him. That's why He gave it. But it wasn't the ultimate goal. Ultimate goal was Christ, to get back to the original design. So what man did is, they took what seemed good. We're doing the law. We're doing everything right. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. You're trying to do everything on your own, or doing what seems right. What seems right. What seems right. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. And what happens is, it causes restriction and doesn't give us life. Listen. Am I making sense? Thank you. So listen, he says, be not condemned, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now I want you to know, I want us to get this and understand that. Let's go back to the understanding that there's a conversation here, and it's with ourselves. And I want you to know that more than just condemning somebody on the outside, it's condemning me on the inside. It's not forgiving me. See, that's the root of the issue, and we got to get to hear the voice of God. We got to be at a place where that you understand that you forgive yourself. Listen, I want you to get this. Yeah, but I struggle with this. I can forgive everybody else, but I have a hard time forgiving myself. I want you to know that, listen to me, we got to know that if we can't forgive ourselves, do we really believe that He forgave me? Am I believing what He did for me? He gave His life. He died on the cross so that you can be forgiven. That's it. So what we say is, well, I don't know if God can forgive. What we're saying is, what Jesus Christ did wasn't enough. I can't be forgiven. So I want you to know that this has been the problem sometimes with us. That we've been in a place where that we condemn ourselves. We have this conversation. We condemn ourselves. We don't forgive ourselves. And because of it, ultimately, we can't forgive others. So when we struggle with forgiving people, we got to stop and have a real question with ourselves. Are you willing to forgive yourself? Can you forgive? Is there something within you that you haven't forgiven in your own self that you haven't let God touch? Or to hear the voice of the Father say, you're forgiven. Cast into the sea of forgetfulness. No longer. Are we at a place where that we condemn ourselves? Where you condemn yourselves, feeling that you're not doing enough for God? Come on, I've been on that road. I feel like I got to do things for God. I did this. I felt like I just felt like I got to save everybody, and that's a good thing to want to have people be saved. Listen, hear my heart. But the problem is, I was doing so much. I was trying to get all these kids, and kids would run, and I'd just be frustrated, and we'd be heartbroken, all this stuff about it, and people wouldn't receive what I had. They didn't seem like they wanted the Jesus that I had at that moment, or whatever it was. And it came to me that someone came to me, and they said, listen to me, you don't have to save the world. Jesus already did. All of a sudden, the pressure just went off me. See, I was condemning myself. I was listening to that voice of the flesh telling me that you need to do more. You know, and all that was doing was wearing me out. I wasn't enjoying the journey. All I was hearing was my voice said, I wanted to do the right thing, but the right thing's not always the right thing. It seemed like it was the right thing. Am I making sense? So he says, and to forgive and to condemn. He says, judge not. And this is Jesus. He leads into this thing. He questions. He says, where's it at? There it is. And he says, but listen to this. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Whatever you give, whatever you listen to, shall be given unto you. The way that you speak to yourself shall be given unto you. If you give forgiveness, it'll be given. You judge not, you won't be judged. Come on. Come on, I want you to get this. You'll begin to have the right conversation going the right way. When we stop judging others, we'll ultimately stop judging ourselves. When we start forgiving others, we'll ultimately begin to forgive ourselves. Greater and greater. Having the right conversation. He says that give, and it shall be given. The way that you give, it should be given back to you. Wow. And he says, in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you have, withal, it shall be the measure to you again. It shall be measured back to you again. Listen, our conversations are important. They're important. The way that we talk, the words that we're declaring, whatever's in a man's heart, it comes out of you. So we got to line our hearts up right. See, I want you to know that, listen, Randy and I were just talking about this, that the basis of everything that we do need to be love. We need to hear the voice of the Father. He says you need to love. Love. That's our foundation. Come on, amen? So I want you to know, because if we don't have love, we will go too far to the right or too far to the left. But love keeps us centered. Love holds us down. Come on, amen? That when we love, if you're willing to love yourself, you're going to love others. Come on, amen? If you can love yourself, you'll love others. You got to learn to... See, I want you to know, when you understand, see, God's love for you and how much He loves you, you're going to want to... I love me. Not in an arrogant way. But in a way that you understand, I have purpose, I have direction, God has sent me here, and I'm a gift from God for Newcastle. Come on, amen. You're a gift from God for wherever you were born, the moment. If you have, does everybody have a birthday? Everybody, right? Nobody, everybody does, right? When you're over 50, you stop having them. But I know, I get it. I'm not there yet, but no. But you stop having them. Actually, I have longer birthdays. I told my wife, I said, listen, we're having a week. Every year is going to get longer. Right? Absolutely. So listen. So you begin to have this. So if you have this birthday, that means you got purpose. You got design. There's something about you. So we need to begin to have this conversation with the Maker. The one that created me. I need to have this intimacy with Him. Not with this false knowledge of good and evil about what I think I am or who I am. Well, then I'm supposed to do this in life. No, I need to trust and know God and have this relationship with the Father. That I hear His voice. That I go His direction. Because if I listen to my voice, I'm going to get off track. I'm going to go the wrong direction. Come on, sometimes you could be two places, a place where you're telling yourself how great you are when you're not what you think you are. Or you could be the other way, you're more than what you say you are. You see, I'm saying it goes both ways there. We need to hear what God says. And that's all that matters. And He says, it'll be given to you, and you shall be measured to you again. It'll be measured to you. The way that you measure, the way that you hear who you are with Him, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. It's running over. Amen? So listen. Everything that you do flows out of what you believe. Everything that you do flows out of what you believe. And the conversation you have about what you believe about yourself, about who you are, that's what's flowing out of you. Whatsoever's in a man's heart. Whatsoever's in a man's heart. Wow. You're going to declare that. You're going to speak those things. I want my conversations to be ordered of God. I want them to be right. I want them to be in the right direction. I want to treat you the right way. I want to speak to you the right way. And if I can't speak to myself the right way, I can't speak to you the right way.
I might say the right things, but it's not coming out of the right spirit. So I have to begin to have the right conversations with me. Stop bashing yourself. Stop talking bad about yourself. You hear me tonight? Come on. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. And you know what we do? I've heard that scripture preached so many times. And sometimes it's preached just to, I don't know. I mean, just to bring people down because you hear it and you're like, wow. And I want you to know this is study to show yourself approved. Like the longer, and I, you know what I did? I spent hours studying to approve myself for God. Hear me, listen. I want you to get this. I spent longer, and that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I was doing it with the wrong conversation. I was doing it to try to get approval of God. Like, God's going to love me if I read longer. I will love Him if I read longer. But what I do doesn't matter. He loves me no matter what. See, the Bible says, study, show yourself approved. Study to look in the Scripture to see you are approved. Study to see all through the Word of God that God approves you. He loves you. Sent His Son to die for you. Gave everything for you. You will find out you're approved. Tell your neighbor you're approved. Stamped. Wow, USDA. You're pleasant in His eyes. Listen, see, I want you to know that when you begin to understand through the Word of God, it begins to change your conversations. You begin to have a different conversation about who you are. That's not who I am. So I want you to know, it'll begin to shift you to do the things that you know, wow, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because my conversation is with God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say those things. See, when I'm right with myself inside and with God, it'll come out of me. It'll come out of me and present to you. 10 minutes. You got this? You ready? Here we go. Let's take this in. Smile. Luke 14. I want you to get this. Am I making sense tonight? Luke 14. I want you to see this. Everything that you do flows out of what you believe. And he says this. And it says, and it came to pass that as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees that he eat bread on the Sabbath day, they watched him. They were watching Jesus. They were always watching Jesus to see what he would do, to kind of catch him, to kind of find fault with him, to find something wrong with him. Even Jesus felt that way. Sometimes the way you feel is somebody's judging me or somebody's looking at me wrong. It's okay. Listen, he could sympathize with us. And it says, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had dropsy. Say dropsy. Now, listen, some of you might have known this. I've shared this one time before, but I want you to get this and understand something. Dropsy, and let me read what it is. It's the word that we use is called edema. Okay? It was formerly dropsy, but we call it edema. It's a swelling due to the accumulation of excess fluid in your biological tissue. It's excess fluid within your body. That's what dropsy is. Edema has many root causes, but the pressure in the tissue, it'll begin to cause pressure within our body. Many of the common conditions causing dropsy edema are congestive heart failure, varicose veins, psoriasis, allergic conditions, infections, bacterial toxins, kidney failure. He says, and these are many of the ones. It is possible that many today, I want you to see this. Edema was due to low protein in the blood. Low protein. Literally, it means a lack of meat, lack of protein in your body. Now, I want you to see something here. I want you just to get a picture here because Jesus begins to deal with something in this moment.
He begins to deal with something, and we have to look at the Word of God and understand, what is He talking about? Here's this guy. Here's this, just this moment. He begins to deal with somebody with this drossy, this retaining this fluid, something that's retaining within them. And I want you to know that we have the Spirit of God within us. It's faith within us. There's faith within us that sometimes it's shut up. If it's not released, if it's not expressed, it'll begin to build up within us. Amen? All that we need to declare is within us to declare, but you have to speak it. Am I saying the right things? So here it is. So here's Jesus. And right before this, listen to this. The scripture before this, Jesus begins to deal with this. Matthew, this is in, it shows you here. It declares this in Luke, but in Matthew, he says this. I want you to get this. Matthew 21, 18. He says, now in the morning he was hungry and he returned to the city and he hungered. And when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing. There was no leaves. Nothing was producing. It wasn't producing. It was shut up. I want you to see the similarity here. Now, Jesus is dealing with this, and then he goes to that place on Sunday to deal with this guy that's shut up, that's holding something within him. I want you to know that the message that he was hearing was keeping him from releasing what was within him. He wasn't releasing what was within him. I want you to know that we have to begin. Sometimes it's because we condemn ourselves. Sometimes we feel like we'd have nothing to say. Sometimes we feel like we can't. We don't have enough understanding or knowledge or whatever it is. All we have to do is hear the voice of God. We need to release our faith. We need to declare what's within us. We need to speak. Come on, amen. We need to have the right conversations. We need to share it with one another. We need to let our faith out of our life. We need to hear a conversation with the Father and let it come out. Come on, amen. Because it empowers us. It's like a river that flows. We talked about faith that's shut up. It causes us, hallelujah, to be like the Dead Sea, dry. And it becomes that there's all kinds of inflow, but there's nothing coming out of us. We have to realize there's something. I'm worth something. There's something that God has me for to release the faith that's within me to be released, to express. So here he is. He said unto, let no fruit grow thenceforth presently from this fig tree. And it withered away. And then he goes to this place. I want you to know that we got to see the context to understand that Jesus is dealing with something. He's talking about a fig tree. And I want you to stop right now and just think, where was the fig tree last? In the Garden of Eden. Do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned? And you remember the leaves that they took? They were fig leaves. The way that seems right to a man, but is wrong. See, what they tried to do is what religion does. And Jesus is dealing with this thing here. That faith was shut up with this man because the religion that was there, keeping him contained, keeping him held back. And all of a sudden, he says that the fig tree, he cursed it. And what Adam and Eve did is they took the figs and they put them on their naked selves to try to cover themselves. That's what we do in our own mind. Come on, you just got to cover yourself up. We have that conversation. You got to keep it so no one will see your nakedness. You got to cover things up that no one will see and you put that on. But I want you to know, unfortunately, those things dry up. And they fall off. And you're standing there naked again. But how did Jesus solve the problem? The Father took a lamb. He said that he covered them. He got the hair, he says, the skin of an animal, and he put it upon Adam and Eve. There was a blood sacrifice. He did it for them. Come on, amen? He was that voice, that reasoning within them. He says, this is the way. You can't do this on your own. You have to do it in my strength. So listen. So here's this guy. I want you to get this because this really gets us to understand that it's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's that voice that I have that keeps me on the right path. Listening to the Father. Knowing that voice. Being sensitive enough. But I want you to know, unfortunately, the church has so much release into them, but there's not a release out. There's a lot of problems out there. It's because the church hasn't released what's within them. I want you to know that, listen, we're beginning to move in a place where God's releasing out of every one of us what He has for us. And I want you to know that here's the problem. It says that it causes hard problems.
a heart condition. When you begin to lose the voice of the Father, you don't, your heart becomes hardened. Hardening of the arteries. Not beginning to be able to, when your kidneys are not functioning right, you can't filter out what is wrong. You can't distinguish the two. That's why we have to know the voice of the Father. More than just a pastor. But I need to have confirmation to understand with, I'm a confirmation to the voice that you're hearing of the Father. I hope so. Amen? Listen. And it says, and Jesus answered, he says, the lawyers and the Pharisees, he says, and they were mad at him for doing this. And he says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? See, I want you to know, in their religious ways, they were judging this man. They were judging this man, and they were keeping him in a place where he wasn't willing to release his faith. He was shut up. He was in a place that he was dry. And you know what's powerful about this is at this time, that dropsy came about. You know how it came about? They said they did research in India and they found out how that this dropsy, how it originated. And the powerful thing, it originated from a contaminated mustard seed. How many know that Jesus uses the mustard seed as faith? See, this man, what he was hearing, the voice that he was hearing, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, was causing him to be shut up and keep everything within him. And it wasn't being released the right way. And he was getting bigger on the inside, but he wasn't releasing it out. And Jesus identified it. He says, listen to me, you'll never get fixed by that fig tree trying to fix it yourself, but it has to be released from me. You have to have this relationship. Hear my voice. So here it is. So the mustard seed is contaminated. It's a contaminated mustard seed. And it says the only way that you could be cured from it or to help it is to eat protein. Do you know it has a lot of protein in it? Lamb. Eat a lot of lamb. How many of those, Jesus is the Lamb of God? He says that it will begin to deal with the issues as you eat that lamb. But I want you know who wasn't affected by it? Was babies that were breastfed. The Bible says that the Word of God is the sincere milk of the Word. It's the sincere Word of God. That you drink of that milk, that you take hold of that, you begin to let that come in, it'll cause you to grow in the right direction. Come on, amen. But what they were hearing was the law, was hearing about causing them to condemn and judge, come on, and be unforgiving. And that the message that was coming from the church, the message they were hearing was getting within them and causing them to be that result, to judge one another. That was coming out of them. Judgmental, not loving, and Jesus was dealing with it. And he says, you know how he began to deal with it? He said to them, saying to the Pharisee, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because listen to me, if you don't even know the heart of the Father, the voice of the Father, that is the Father's heart to heal, to touch. And if you don't realize that, it doesn't matter what day it is. Next verse. And they held their peace, and they took him and healed him, and he let him go. He took him, and he healed him, and he let him go. He was healed. See, that's powerful. He healed him. And he says, and they were dealing with it. It was lawful to heal. They had a hard time with it. I want you to know that, listen, here's the problem we've had. Is that we've heard our own voices. We've done what we think has been right. And it comes out as religion. And all it does is destroy, hurt people, cause people to... Come on, amen. That the Bible says that you preach the law, it brings forth death. Preaching the law. Come on, amen. The law. Law was what man can do. That if you can do this on your own, if you're able to do this, come on. The only way to be perfect is if you fulfill the law. And we know that we can't do that. The other way is Jesus. And it's just believing. Do you know that's what it is? It's not all those things that they've put before them that are unattainable. You can't get there. But there's one way, and it's to believe. Just believe what He did for you. To believe that I'm accepted. To believe that I'm forgiven. To study to know that I am approved of God. When we begin to work, God rests. See, that's why man got so upset when Jesus did all these miracles on Sunday. See, do you understand that? You know, when I started to do Saturday services, I had people, half the church left. You know why? Because they thought, no, you have to have church on Sunday. That's what we need to do. It's a Sabbath day. It's really not the Sabbath day. It's actually Saturday. But I don't go by the law in the sense of that understanding. See, because if we take that and we begin to follow it, oh, if I go to church on Sunday, I'm, in my own heart, I'm right. If you don't go to church on Sunday, you're condemned. You know how many religious people come up to me and I tell them I have church on Sunday? You don't have church on Sunday? It's like the world's shattering. Oh my God! You're a pastor? Yeah! And I hear from God and He loves me. See, I want you to get this. There's this religious thing that we project people on people. But Jesus broke that. When He healed all those people on Sunday, He specifically healed them on Sunday. There's so many scriptures where it says that He healed them on Sunday. What? To upset them. To realize, you can't do this on you unless you rest. Rest in Jesus. The Sabbath day. It's not a day. It's a person. See, that's the secret. I don't worship a day. Worship Jesus. See, that's what changes everything. I worship Jesus. The day can't fix me, but the person can. So when I stop working, that's what He was trying to get them to understand in the law. Don't work on Sunday. What He was trying to get them to understand, don't work on the Sabbath. Don't work when it's the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. It's in Christ. He's given us a day. This is the day. Every day should be the day of the Lord. Every day. We should be at rest. Not working. Trying to find God. Or No. Just rest and know that He's God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? Did I help you tonight? Let's listen to the right voice. Come on, amen. It's what we put in. Don't let it be contaminated. The Bible says that a grain of mustard seed, He says that mustard seed, that little bit of faith right there, can move a mountain. Can move a mountain. Whatever obstacle, whatever that thing is, come on. Whatever that is, faith. Believing who He says and what He says about me is enough. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these people. I thank You for each one of them. I thank You that they are approved. I thank You, God, Lord, that we hear the voice of the Father. Hallelujah. That we understand, that we begin to grab hold of it and walk in it and release by faith what we believe who we are. That we release, that we don't listen to the enemy that declares to us, you can't say blah, 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 all these different things that cause us to be, to hold in, but to release what's within us, to love the unlovable, to not judge, to forgive and to release into God, Lord, not to condemn God, but to bless one another, hallelujah. Embrace one another. And Lord, express Your love, God, and the truth about who we really are. God, Lord, there'll be a generation of people that won't be confused about who they are and what they are. But they know it's Christ. That is the way. And Lord, I give You the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless somebody. I'll see you Saturday night. Not Sunday.